I so appreciate this team that leads us in worship, even when our worship pastor is out of town. What a gift they are. Well, today, we've been talking every week for the last, this is our third week, leading up to our Easter offering, which is next Sunday, about our call as a church, a Celebration Community Church, to be on mission. And not only that, but to be a missional presence here in this neighborhood. Our Easter offering historically helps fund all of our outreaches in the neighborhood. And there's a lot of them. And you can see some of those in your bulletin. But what we're focusing on this year is just our property and our facilities and grounds, because we have a lot of property and how we want to steward that well. Each week, we've also in the bulletin included a letter of support from a neighbor that just reflects their perspective on our impact in the neighborhood. And this week we have Frontline Farming, a letter from them. And all of these letters were put together to go towards a grant with the city to help us do some work on our building and grounds. But anyway, Frontline Farming, we partner with them to steward the garden, the Celebration Community Farm that's on the north end of the property. So it's a great letter. Fatima, you've met her before. She's been here. But today we want to talk a little bit about, here's Grant. He's one of our stewards. Can you give it up for Grant Bennett? Is it this one? And you're going to tell us a little bit about some important upgrades that we have done, are doing, hoping to do.
Yes. On the property. Hi, good morning, everyone. So last year we received a grant from the city, which funded a lot of different things, concrete all over the property, the new plantings, the upgraded landscaping, the security, I think the fencing and the security there, and the signage, which you have all seen around the campus. And then the last big project we have is, you may or may not have noticed that we have a very old and sort of not in line with our logo sign on the corner of Mexico and Birch, and that is getting a huge upgrade. And so that is... We have some pictures. Oh, look at that. There it is on the screen.
Travis Stiles.
Yes. Good job.
Our designer.
Yeah. We have lots of in-house talent that's helping here. And so this is a new sign. Will be larger than the existing. It will be lit on two sides. And there'll be some fancy lighting controls to help it and be illuminated at night. So
that's what it'll look like in the...
Oh, yeah. There it is. Yeah. Perfect. So... the DURA grant covers about half the cost. We spent lots and lots of money, $50,000 on the campus, and the DURA grant covered half of this remaining sign. So we're going to be using the Easter offering to pay for the second half, which will be about $7,500. Okay, so.
Signs aren't cheap.
No,
did you guys
signs
know
are
that?
Not cheap.
Did not know
and
that.
That's fabrication, insulation, everything, take out the old sign. So a lot of work to be done there. So the second grant we have applied to for the city, they opened it back up and they expanded it, and you can now use it for things inside the building.
What?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
So last year's grant, we could not spend money inside the buildings. We had to make the site better, which we've done.
Yeah.
And I see John stepped out, but John Carlberg deserves a huge round of applause.
He's in the back.
He's in the back.
Kitchen.
John, we're cheering you on, buddy. Take a wave. Yeah, so he's worked tirelessly on this DURA grant effort, including the second grant, which we applied for. And this year's grant is mainly focused on obtaining funds to make repairs inside the building, including in the hall, two new evaporative coolers would make
Can we
cooler.
Get an amen for
yes.
that?
On hot summer days, as well as in the chapel, we're going to add some mini splits to help heating and cooling in some of the rooms that are currently not heated and cooled. And we've heard from our partner organizations that that's a bit of a problem. Yeah, a little chilly, a little hot. Yeah. So that'll happen. And in the north classroom wing, a whole bunch of plumbing, including replacing sinks, adding some hot water to the girls' restroom, and the north sink. So if anyone have used those facilities, you know that they're a bit dated, and so that those would get upgrades as well. And let's see here. Oh, yeah, and then that would be done with tankless hot water heaters.
Awesome. But that's not all, right? Wait, there's more. No, we're also going to be doing a little bit of work outside, too. We're going to do some landscaping over here by the chapel and finish the work that we started on the church office with a railing and that kind of good stuff. So. So we're hoping, let's pray. We're hoping we'll find out.
Yes.
We'll get the grant.
Yeah, we need to pray for the grant. We'll find out at the end of April whether we receive the second grant from the city. And our hope is obviously where the improvements will go. The most urgent ones are, of course, the heating and cooling here in this room and over in the chapel. And if we are not able to get the grant, the goal would be to use Easter Fund offering to make those necessary heating and cooling upgrades.
Yeah.
So in the next few days, you'll receive a mailing from the church explaining our goals for this year's Easter offering.
Love it, love it. Yeah. And you guys, we continue to pray. Remember those three things that we identified over a year and a half ago, two years ago, to pray for God's provision through us, where he takes the dollars we give and multiplies with his God math, right? We pray for wise stewardship, and we have a great staff and leadership that are incredibly wise stewards, and then creative revenue generation. So applying for this grant is one of those creative ways to manage this multi-million dollar property. So pretty awesome. So pray with us for this grant to come in, and also for our offering, that our special offering that's above and beyond our monthly faithful offering, and that's coming up next week. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that when we come to you with a need, when we cry out to you, that you hear us. You don't turn a deaf ear. And we thank you that you care more about your church than even we do, and we sure love this little church on Birch. So, Lord, we lift up this property. We lift up these buildings, the grounds, the ministries, and the partnerships that happen here throughout the week. And, Lord, we pray that your name would continue to be proclaimed, your spirit would be felt, that this really would be a sacred space in this corner of Denver. So we lift up this grant opportunity. We lift up our Easter offering next week. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we thank Grant for... And just, do we have other stewardship team members here, if you guys want to stand? So Al Potter is here, John Carlberg, Ray Howard, Kay Matthews. Did we get, and Rob's the only one not here because he's in tax season. Kay Matthews, yeah, awesome. Thanks, you guys. So fun. Well, can you guys believe that in 2 weeks it's Easter? Cray, cray, right? Well, today we're not going to talk about, that doesn't really go up, does it? I'll just stay like this. Easter Sunday is 2 weeks away, but today we're going to go on the other side of Easter. We're going to talk about what happened after Easter, and that's going to frame our entire time together this morning. I'm going to preach a briefer sermon. Can I get an amen? Nice. Nobody said it. Good job. Good. It was a test and you passed it. And then we're going to hear some really cool things about what God is doing here through celebration, through you, through our Acts 1:8 team, which is our missions team. And you're going to hear more about that. But we get our name, Acts 1:8, our missions team, from, can you guess where? Acts 1:8. So we're going to go there this morning. If you want to turn, and you can turn in your handout or follow on the screen, we're going to read just three verses. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Again, this is after Jesus was crucified, after he was resurrected 3 days later from the grave, right before he ascends into heaven. And here's this really important conversation encounter with his disciples. Verse 6, then they, the disciples, gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. These are the words of the Lord. So these three verses describe the disciples' last encounter with Jesus. So this is a really important conversation, their last encounter with him before Jesus ascends into heaven. He's preparing to leave, but the disciples are confused. They're asking him questions about, okay, so what does this kingdom look like that you're ushering in? Are you going to restore Israel and make everything right? And these are all valid questions, because in that day, 2,000 years ago, very much like today, it was a world where there were dictatorial rulers. There was oppression throughout the world. There were wars and rumors of wars. They were ready for Jesus to step in. They were ready for the kingdom of God to come in revolutionarily and wipe all of the enemies out. But Jesus responds in an interesting, unusual way, which is just kind of his way, right? He, in essence, tells them that they're asking the wrong question. It's not about the days or the times, the dates when Christ will return, nor is it worth it to spend your energies trying to map it out, reading through church history and reading through the Bible and trying to map out when God is going to return. Only God knows the answer to that. So instead, he gives them the answer to the question they should have asked. What do we do now? What do we do now? And he gives them their mission. So Jesus' words, particularly in Acts 1:8, where we're going to spend our time today, he tells them what they are to do now. And I believe he's telling us the same thing. The mission extends to us today. He says, receive power from the Holy Spirit. Surrender to the Holy Spirit and receive his power. He says, be my witnesses and do this everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus gives them their mission. He gives them the how, the what, the who, and the when of what they are now to do. So we're going to look through these briefly as we prepare for hearing from our Acts 1:8 team. So the how are they going to do this? They're going to do it not through all their training, not through all their learning and experience. They're going to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. I think it's interesting that Jesus starts with the how rather than the what. It's that through the power of the Holy Spirit, these disciples of Jesus will be his witnesses. This how, I think, may be the most important part. Power. They're going to receive power. It's the capacity to perform a certain function. And this isn't just any power. The word power here is the same word that Jesus used in his miracles, that used of Jesus in his miracles in the Gospels. It's the Spirit's power. The power they were to receive was divine power, supernatural power, a power that they do not naturally possess. And this power would equip them for the mission that God had for them. Let's backtrack a little bit. Remember, it's important to know about where this power comes from, right? Because it was about 40 days prior to this conversation with Jesus that the disciples showed how weak they were, how human they were. Peter denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. And most of the disciples ran for fear of their lives when they saw Jesus, the Messiah, dying on the cross. And even after Jesus' death, before he appeared to them, they were huddled together in a room with the doors locked out of fear that they too would be tried and killed by the Roman government. So yeah, they needed power, didn't they? We need power. This promise of power is significant. The power of the Holy Spirit means that he will call you to do things that in and of yourself you are not strong enough to do. The power of the Holy Spirit means that he will work in you. He will work in you and through you to fulfill his work in the world. Why is this important? It's important to remember that this promise that they would receive power was part of his reply to their question about the kingdom. This concept of power is important. In any kingdom, in any country, in any political entity, the concept of power is crucial. Who holds the power? Who defines what power is? But here, we see that the power in God's kingdom is completely different from power in any other human kingdom or government. When Jesus said, we will receive power from the Holy Spirit, we see that the Holy Spirit defines the nature of this power and that it's seen through the lives of God's people. That God demonstrates his power through the lives of his people. Again, I don't think that's a great plan. We are flawed. You're flawed. We're human. We're going to get it wrong. And yet that's how God, the God of the universe, the creator, chooses to reveal his power. This power is spread by witness, not by soldiers. This power is through a gospel of peace, not a declaration of war. This power is by the work of the Spirit, not by your skill or your force. The prophet Zechariah in Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty." So if you think you're not good enough or strong enough or smart enough or have enough skills or you've messed up too much, those aren't the qualifiers in God's kingdom. The qualifier is, are you a follower of him? Do you surrender to what he wants to do in you and through you? Because the God of the universe wants to work through you and wants to bring his kingdom power into the world through you. So we're a church on mission, just like Jesus called the disciples. We see the how we fulfill the mission of God is through the power of this Holy Spirit. Now we're going to see the what. What are we? What is this mission? We are witnesses. He says, be my witnesses. The Greek term here that's usually translated as witness is mentioned 13 times in the book of Acts alone. And the basic meaning is the one who testifies or the one who gives a testimony. Makes kind of sense, right, for a witness. A witness is simply someone who tells what they saw or heard or experienced. A witness tells the story of what happened to them. So when Jesus told his followers, you will be my witnesses, he is saying that anyone who follows me has a story to tell. A story of your own experience and encounter with Jesus. What you've seen, what you've heard, what you've experienced. What difference Jesus has made in your life. It's your firsthand account. So to witness or be a witness is not a script that you follow or verses that you memorize in order to recite at just the appropriate time, maybe. I mean, scripture memorization, great thing. But it's not something contrived or a formula. We see in scripture that to be a witness or to witness is to tell what you know, what you've experienced about God, about Jesus. How have you experienced the power of Jesus in your life? What difference has it made? How does the gospel impact how you live? Eugene Peterson, one of my faves, he says, Christians don't simply learn or study or use scripture. We assimilate it. We take it into our lives in such a way that it gets metabolized into acts of love, cups of cold water, missions into all the world, healing and evangelism and justice in Jesus' name, hands raised in adoration of the Father, feet washed in company with the Son. We're called to be witnesses of what we've seen, heard, and experienced. You're not called to be a witness to my experience. You're called to be a witness to yours. To your experience with Jesus. So we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the what, to be his witnesses. And the third piece is the where. Where do we do this? And the answer is everywhere. He breaks it down. Jesus breaks it down. He says, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. What he's saying here is every known part of the known world to you in this space is where you are to be a witness. Your immediate world, your city, your state, the unfamiliar places, the places that you feel uncomfortable with, the entire world. Sometimes God calls us to specific places. Sometimes he calls us to go to different parts of the world to be his witnesses. He does do that. And we're going to hear about a few here in a few minutes. More often, God calls you to be right where you are. Your mission is right in front of you, should you choose to accept it. God is working in the world and in your circumstances. We call this the sovereignty of God. That where you live, where you work, where you go to school, all of these matter to him. Whether where you are feels like a mistake or a plan B, or this isn't really where I wanted to be, or maybe it is, you're where exactly right where you want to be. This is where God is present. This is where God wants to work in you and through you, right where you are. I've had a variety of jobs throughout the years. I've been a nanny. I've been a receptionist. I was a retail person, cashier. I worked at Gymboree. It's like one of my favorite jobs. Cashier or cash registers back then were so much fun. Felt very powerful doing that. I was a secretary. I was an IT recruiter. Not very good at it, but I was an IT recruiter. I was a missionary and a pastor. Some of these jobs I was good at. Some of them not so much. Some of them I loved. Some of them I didn't. Yet all of those jobs have been places of mission. All of your places, all of your jobs, all of your homes, all the places that you have been places, have been and are places of mission where God wants to fill you with his power to share your story of what God is doing in your life to those around you. Nothing is wasted, I believe, in the kingdom. The question we ask then is, Lord, what do you have for me in this season? What do you have for me at this place, at this time? How can I be your witness here? Individually, we're called to be witnesses wherever we are. But we're also called to be witnesses as a community, as a church community. And we're going to hear some fun stories and fun updates about what God is doing here through Celebration in the inner city and around the world. But we started here, and we talk about this a lot, that if we look at what Jesus says here, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts, our Jerusalem is right here on this property, in this neighborhood. And you guys are faithful in being witnesses and being on mission here on this church property. And extends beyond that. So we're going to hear now about how what God is doing and how we get to be, how you get to be the church on mission. I'm going to have our Acts 1:8 team stand up wherever you are. So we have Brad and Marcy Cornish, Jenny Savig, Stuart Savig, and John Mayberry in the booth. Can we just give them a huge hand? And Brad, if you want to come on up.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Really good overview of missions. What does it mean for us, right, in this church and you individually, okay? It's a big deal, you guys. It's a big enough deal that our original plan was, timing-wise, we were going to do this on Super Bowl Sunday, and we were going to call it Super Sunday. And for whatever reason, that timing just didn't work out. So this is Super Sunday instead. It's such a big deal that when we first started the church in 1998, a really early core value was, yeah, we do want to meet all the needs of our attenders, the spiritual community needs, but we don't want to be insular. We want to take this charge seriously and reach out to our Jerusalem, our Judea, our ends of the earth. So whether just by participating in this church, you are already a participant in some form of Acts 1:8. But there's more, and I'll get to it a little bit. What is Jerusalem? What is Judea? What is Samaria? What is the ends of the earth? So, Alex, you may be put up Jerusalem. We'll spend just a little bit of time on Jerusalem because these things are probably a little bit more familiar with us right here in our neighborhood. Jill mentioned that she had a letter from Frontline Farming. That's a good example of our Jerusalem, as is the Love Project, which we give storage space for food and supplies that are distributed to the immediate community a couple times a month. You know, Celebration summer nights, the bike shed. In fact, sneak preview, this summer is probably going to be a Celebration summer morning, mid-August. So cool stuff that you're all probably a little bit more familiar with, but I think we want to put a little bit more of a spotlight on just outside our immediate community. So now we're going to move into Judea. We're going to talk about six different ministries, two of them Judea, two of them Samaria, two of them other most parts of the world or whatever the phrase is. And what's really cool about each one of these is we have deep connections with every one of the leaders of these ministries. They're well known to us and we're well known to them. And that I think that makes it even more meaningful. So the first of those is Providence House. Derek, right there, you want to wave your hand a little bit? He's the executive director of Providence House. And how many years have you been doing that? Network, Providence Network. 18 years as the executive director. So they provide transformational housing and recovery for those who come out of homeless in addiction situations. And, you know, it's not a two-day course. It's like a 2 years where they live there on site. Their counselors live there on site. So a really, really cool thing. A second one would be JAMLAC, the Justice and Mercy Legal Aid Clinic. Steve Thompson, for a long, long time, Steve attended here till he and Liz moved up north somewhere, Erie or Tacoma or Frederick or whatever. But they provide legal services to folks who couldn't otherwise possibly afford it. And, you know, as you might imagine, there's a big need for that right now. So wonderful work that those guys are doing. So that's our Judea, okay? Samaria, what is Samaria? Where does Samaria even come from? Samaria, think of the story in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Okay. She was from Samaria. Jesus met her there. She could have, I'm sure she thought, how in the world is this guy even talking to me? Because I am an outsider. Nobody wants to be with me or help me. Well, these next couple ministries kind of address that for the outsider, the forgotten, the isolated. Okay. The first one, Where Grace Abounds. Is Roger in here? Right there. As usual, hogging the spotlight right there in the back. Roger is Jill's husband. Where Grace Abounds is a ministry that provides hope and truth and community surrounding faith and sexuality. So, you know, really lightweight stuff, right? These guys really kind of dig into the muck and the mire and help people who otherwise get sort of left behind. Okay. Who's the biggest outsider in our country right now? Probably the immigrant population, right? It's such huge needs. Ginny, I saw Ginny over there, Stewart's in the back. These guys, they were introduced as part of the Acts 1-8 team, and they really are the heartbeat of the Acts 1-8 team. Why in the world am I up here? But they're living it. They're living it. Ginny and Stu were at one time, they were in the other ends of the earth, right? Russia and Kazakhstan. For the last many years, they've been here in Denver working with, I'm not sure I'm going to get this right, so correct me if I get it wrong, immigrants and internationals and refugees. Is that right? Maybe not the right order, but the right idea? Okay. Yeah, IRR. Huge needs right now. You guys, you spend 20 seconds with these guys. If you want to get inspired, spend 20 seconds with these guys. And here's some of the stories of how they've been helping, particularly immigrants. There can be a discussion about what part of immigration is legal and illegal, but the stories they're talking about are people who are unjustly being incarcerated. And just recently, we had a miracle that Ginny worked through for about 5 weeks before this young lady got released from an ICE detention. 5 months. Did I say 5 weeks? 5 months. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Then we move out to the other ends of the earth. Ethiopia is a horrible place. War-torn, Christians persecuted frequently, and Jesse and Haley Miller have served there in a number of years. You guys, a number of you know of Light of the Nation Church that meets here in the afternoon, Sunday afternoons, right? Okay. Andy Miller, the pastor there, his son, Jesse, and his daughter-in-law, Haley, have served over there. He's come here a couple times, and man, if you want to get fired up, just listen to Jesse talk about what's going on in Ethiopia. And then lastly, 3 years ago, a number of us had a wonderful opportunity to go down to Guatemala to work alongside Jesse Mejia at Echo Reach Ministries. Jesse, attender of this church, was up in the worship band for a number of years, has lived in that area. Guatemala City is not a friendly place for kids. They are so prone to getting recruited into gangs and then just into a life of despair. And Jesse, man, she's been a lot. She's really resilient. She's been through a lot. She's resilient. She's passionate. She has more vision than I have in my little finger. I'd bet on her all day long. So those are the six ministries that we're going to put a little bit more on the spotlight here in a minute. But I just want to give you a brief overview of them. Let's come back to a minute. Well, what can you do? How can you be individually involved? Besides just being part of this congregation, I imagine all six of those ministries would not say, we're loaded with cash. We're just overfunded. We don't need any more. Or we got way too much prayer support. You know, none of them are going to say that, okay? So if you feel inspired by some of what you hear here and what you're going to hear in a few minutes, you know, maybe you talk with some of the folks who are involved in those ministries, or you talk with some of us on Acts 1:8, and we can put you in connection with them, perhaps to help pitch in a little bit on a monthly basis. You could take your bulletin insert and put it up on a refrigerator, okay? Pray for them daily. So that's an overview. And for more, I'm going to invite up the prettiest, no offense to the rest of you, but the prettiest girl in the room, Marcy. She's going to tell us a little more.
So I am a teacher. I was a teacher. Will always be a teacher. So I would like you to take your handout out, because to get the most out of this, I think it'll be nice as they go through each of the videos. I love all of our ministry partners. Derek, we're so glad you're here and that you're part of this congregation and your family. We love your girls. You know, each of them are just wonderful people, but they all have huge needs. Needs like Brad mentioned that God may lay on your heart today. So as you're watching these videos, I would ask you to go through them. You're gonna not do the front page, but flip it open. So you start on, the videos are going to kind of start with Providence Neck, which is Derek's, and then we're going to go through it. But if God lays something on your heart, we're here about listening to God. If God lays that on the heart, that's up to you what you do and what you give. Whether it's just committing to pray with them by having it on your refrigerator, or if it's to give extra. I know, like Brad said, you know, Jesse, we just felt compelled, you know, Jesse is funding extra people so that they can do extra things, just like Derek and all the other ministry partners. And so I would ask you to go through this one by one, follow along in your handout. I just think that's helpful. Circle, underline something you feel God calling you to pray for. Circle, underline something you feel if God's calling you to give, you need to give. Okay, and that's all I can say. It's not up to me. It's not up to this. It's up to how you hear from God. So I hope you enjoy. I've only seen one of the videos, but if there are any of them, I mean, they're wonderful videos. So this is going to be a special time. So thank you.
A resident's journey of transformation is just that. A journey, moving from desperation to healing and stability. Our goal is for lasting change, and this takes time. For this reason, we dedicate ourselves to doing the hard work of each step of healing. After over 26 years of serving Denver's homeless and abused, we know that we must begin by meeting a person's most basic need, safety. We meet most of our residents at a place of desperation, a quest for survival. And what we offer them is a place of refuge.
I was drinking about half a gallon of vodka a day and living in and out of motels. At one point I lived in the woods for 6 months, and it's a very isolating disease. And I would say I talked to my parents once or twice a year during the peak of my addiction, and that breaks my heart. I finally hit rock bottom when you know, I woke up one morning and I'm in a motel. The heat's been off. It's the middle of winter. I have a broken foot. I have bruises from head to toe. It was absolutely hopeless. The only way out was either suicide or drinking myself or using to death. There was no way to hide anymore that I had a problem. Yeah. So I decided to scrape up the change to walk the block and a half to the payphone and called my parents, and they got the call they'd always been praying for, that I wanted to get some help. I hadn't prayed a lot at that point. It was sort of new to me, but I asked God for both for forgiveness and for to help me on this road, which seemed absolutely impossible, but it wasn't with God. And you know, that's how I began my road to Providence.
Once a resident's life has been stabilized with their basic needs of shelter, food, clothing, and health care being established, we begin to focus on healthy relationships. When our residents move into one of our first step homes, they're not only experiencing physical safety, they are also experiencing safe relationships. Trust does not come easily or automatically. Because our staff live in the homes with our residents, they are offering a real-life model for what it is to have healthy, safe, loving relationships. Consider where Jesus met people. He met them in the everyday normal activities. In his presence, they felt love and respect. He not only talked with the woman at the well, he sat with her. This is how the Providence Network staff approaches relationships. We sit, we listen, we eat together, laugh together, and cry together.
Bienvenidos a Gemla. As an immigrant, I am personally invested in making a profound difference in the lives of marginalized individuals and families in our Metro Denver community.
Our community is the driving force behind everything we do. We serve a diverse range of low-income individuals, including immigrants, survivors of domestic violence, victims of crime, abandoned children, families, and older adults. Our clients share a common thread. They face injustice and are unable to progress in their lives due to the cost of legal services.
It's incredible how you can get from place A to place B and then helping others. It is not only myself who I'm lifting up, but also my family and my community.
Legal issues can significantly damage the well-being of those who cannot afford a lawyer, especially those who have language barriers, experience fear and trauma, discrimination, and inequities.
But at JAMLAC, we don't just identify obstacles, we take action. Our approach is centered around providing accessible legal aid to our community. We meet our clients where they are. We open doors to improved education, housing options, access to employment, better health care, increased engagement in society, and safer homes.
Our track record speaks for itself. Over the years, we have successfully assisted countless individuals in rebuilding their lives.
Our staff and programs reflect the voices, needs, and aspirations of the communities we serve. We aim to create a more inclusive society.
Together, we can transform lives and create a ripple effect of change that will shape generations to come.
Good morning, Celebration. Roger here, aka Mr. Pastor Jill. I also serve as the director of a ministry called Where Grace Abounds, which is one of Celebration's ministry partners. 2026 is our 40th year of ministry, working with men and women who are struggling with questions around their sexuality and their faith. One of the cool things that we get to see from being around for so long is that we really get to see how the work that God's doing in people's lives unfolds over the course of time. Just this past week, we heard from a woman who came to us almost 30 years ago. She came because her brother had just come out to his family as being gay, and they didn't know what to do with that. He was a Christian, but he seemed to be walking away from his faith because he couldn't see where there was room for him within God's kingdom. And she came to us just to learn more, to try to figure out how to support him and her family as best she could. And she eventually moved away, She's currently spearheading some ministry efforts within her own church denomination, but she called to tell us that her brother had reached out to her and told her that he was re-engaging with this faith. He was going back to church. He was in a Bible study. Now, we don't know exactly where his story is going to go yet, but I found it encouraging that someone who seems to have walked away for so long, God is still calling, beckoning back to him. We know that he's going to continue to do the work that God always does, showing us how to reach across these divides that seem too far. And we pray that he just continues to bring healing and hope to the brokenhearted. Thanks so much, Celebration, for being one of our partners. We couldn't do this without you.
Celebration. We are so excited to get to share with you this morning. I'm Haley, and this is my husband, Jesse. We're the Millers.
Woo!
And we are here in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. We have been here for 10 years. We have four small kids, 8 and under, and we are just so excited to share with you about what God is doing here in Africa through the ministry that he's called us to.
Yeah. Oh, man. When I look back and remember, over 11 years ago now, Celebration, you were our first supporters, our first believers in what God had planted inside of our spirits. And now, over a decade later, God, what he spoke was to spark a missional movement from Ethiopia to Africa and the rest of the world. And after serving in the local church and doing discipleship and really walking with Ethiopians, we have seen God do so much. And now we are actually moving into phase two of this sparking a missional movement, where we are building out a missional supply chain of sorts, with a current focus of actually developing Christian entrepreneurs with a missional mindset to be able to create a funding mechanism from Africa for Africa to sustainably send out African missionaries. So we currently are working with founders to build that mindset in, but also working with their businesses to be able to make them investable and to be able to make them sustainable themselves so that they can be part of this vision of sparking a missional movement.
Now, while Jesse is pushing in heavily into the kingdom business space, I have been focused on raising the next generation to be missions-minded. So we grow young people who know their God-given identity and are walking in the purposes that God has for them. We believe that as we disciple and raise the next generation, God will water his eternal seed in many hearts. We currently lead a large children's ministry at a local church, and we are committed to working in schools to do identity training. And one of our first prayer requests would be, God is beginning to open doors for us to be in schools. And our desire is that in the 2026-2027 school year, God is going to open even more doors so that we can begin to expand this identity training past just our current influence, but into more and more schools so that we can raise a generation that knows their purpose.
Amen. Amen. Another prayer request that you can link arms with us on is we are currently actually rolling out a program for angel investors, impact investors, to be able to invest in different companies here in Ethiopia and Africa. And we are working to manage those investments that people are putting into these different companies. So you can be praying for those founders. You can be praying for those investors, and that God would be able to work with these two different groups to see kingdom work happen in the marketplace.
So Celebration, we just want to thank you for your faithful partnership these past 10 years. And we are just so looking forward to the future of what God is doing here and how he is going to continue to use the generosity of Ethiopians to reach the world.
Amen. We love you, Celebration.
Have a great Sunday.
Woo!
Bye.
Yeah! That sounds more like it.
Hey, Celebration. Jesse Mejia here, Echo Reach Ministries in Guatemala. Just wanted to send you guys a quick video saying hi, letting you guys give you an update on what's going on in the ministry. I got my Colorado Rockies hat representing Colorado. Here with me today, I have Angel with me and Diego. They are two boys that we, Echo Reach, has been working with for the past 2 years. And they are part of the orphanage of Restos Pequeños Hermanos here in Guatemala. Echo Reach supports this orphanage by coaching the soccer team and working with the boys on their relationship with Christ, and just working on their future and not only playing soccer to be a good soccer player, but also to be a good, better human being in life. Because a lot of times soccer isn't going to be your job and provide for you in the future, but it can teach you many things through soccer on what God wants in your life or who you need to be. So this past year, we went to a tournament against El Salvador, Honduras, Mexico, Dominican Republic, and Peru. And in that tournament, there is an organization from Spain that has connections with the Barcelona team, and they offered 5 scholarships to all of the people at the tournament. And Guatemala ended up taking home 3 of those 5 scholarships. And these 2 earned a scholarship to be able to go to Spain. And our 3rd player, Gerson, he couldn't be here today because he's at Peru. But we just wanted to talk a little bit with Angel and Diego, let them share with you guys about Echo Reach and their experience in the ministry, and say a little hello to all of our friends and family back home, and thank you guys for your support. So I just wanted to give these 2 boys a quick opportunity to share a little bit of their heart and what they've experienced the past 2 years with Echo Reach here. So Angel, cuéntanos, ¿cómo ha sido tu experiencia?
Hola, mi nombre es Ángel y para mí ha sido un gran gusto y un gran privilegio el poder estar con Echo Reach, ya que gracias a ellos he podido aprender varias cosas que no sabía, tanto como futbolísticamente como personalmente y religiosamente. A Jesse agradecerle también por todo lo que me ha enseñado, porque gracias a ella también he podido crecer como persona y he llegado hasta donde estoy en este momento. Y déjenme contarles que gracias a ustedes y a Dios, que siempre ha estado conmigo en cada momento, como lo estuvo en el torneo del año pasado, y estuvo cuando anunciaron eso, que me gané una beca para poder ir a España, que fue una emoción tan grande que sentí, y en esos momentos pensé que gracias a Dios, gracias a todos, pude lograr ese objetivo, y espero que en mi camino hacia España, Él me siga apoyando y me siga fortaleciendo para yo poder lograr mi objetivo, que es poder llegar a ser futbolista profesional. Muchas gracias.
So because of time, we couldn't share what Diego said, but both boys are so excited for the opportunity they have to go to Spain and be able to possibly stay in Spain on a scholarship to play soccer. So if you guys back home could please be praying for them and sending love, I would greatly appreciate that. And we just wanted to say, as Eli, James, and me, thank you so much for your constant love and support. None of what we do here in Guatemala would be possible without you guys back home, holding us up, holding up the ministry, and holding up all of these boys and girls here in Guatemala. So bye, celebration.
Bye, celebration. We love you.
Thank you.
Love you.
Thank you.
Thanks for supporting us.
Thank you for supporting us.
Love you guys.
Hi, I'm John. I'm on the Acts 1-8 team also, and that's a lot, right? We're doing a lot. Our church is doing a lot. And the next thing we want to do in our support is to pray. And Paul says to the Ephesians, and pray in the Spirit, as Jill mentioned already, that's where we get our power. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. The saints are us and fellow believers in Christ Jesus. So as Marcy showed you your handout, everybody's got a handout, and it's got specific requests for each group. We've only got a few minutes, so don't want to fire hose you with trying to hit the prayer request for every group. So we're going to split up, and we're going to have the stage half of the right-hand side here. Got to get my list for assignments. You all be praying for Providence. The back half, we'll be praying for JAMLAC. And then in this section here, front half, praying for Where Grace Abounds. Back half, praying for the Savigs. Don't overthink it, which half is which. Just group up with three or four people. And if you figure you're closer to the front, you're in that group. Go for it. Right here, this group here, we're going to be praying for the Millers in Ethiopia, and over here for Jesse in Guatemala. So if we just go ahead and group up with a few folks, look in your bulletins, pray for those requests, and then in just a few minutes, I'll close us, and then Jill will give the benediction. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your hand in at work in all these ministries. As a friend of mine would say, for your work, aquí, allí, ya, ya, or here, there, and out yonder. And we thank you that you love us, and you work through us, and you give us a chance to be a part of it. And we pray that your Spirit would bring your kingdom, and it would come, and it would flow over the world, and in our neighborhood, and in our own hearts. Through your Spirit, and we thank you again for our part in that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Whoa, this was a bit of a whirlwind, right? But pretty cool. Pretty cool what God is doing through you around the world. So super, super fun. Let's just give it up for our Lord and what we get to, he lets us participate in. So I want to send you out here in just a sec, but just like a few things. Them really quickly, so just stay with me here. The next couple weeks, there's a lot going on. Easter Sunday's coming up, so you're getting a mailing this week, I believe. It's going to talk about Good Friday. We have a Good Friday service in this room at 6 p.m. Easter Sunday, we have a brunch, breakfast burrito brunch afterwards. It helps if you sign up, if you RSVP, just so we can make sure we have enough breakfast burritos. If you don't RSVP, that's okay. We still love you. It's just helpful for us if you do. Next Sunday, there's a women's lunch at Wahoo's after the service, and next Saturday, this coming Saturday on March 28th, there is a celebration into the wild hike at Roxborough Park. So there's information in your bulletin and in the app for that. So can I have you stand up? And again, our Acts 1-8 team, they're a phenomenal group of people. If you want to talk more or get to know more information, grab one of them. Derek Kirkendall. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. You can chat with him. My husband, I'm partial to. Roger in the back is also available. So let me send you out and continue to pray for our people, for our ministry partners around the world. So now, as you leave this place, everyone whose path you cross here in Denver, here in the metro area, carries a heavy load. They're afraid. There's despair. They're wondering, what do we do? What do we do now? And if you scratch just below the surface, you will find pain. So be good to yourself. Be kind to those you meet. Be kind. Grab the hand of your Heavenly Father who walks with you and who gives you the power to follow him. And grab the hand of a friend, and in the love of Jesus, go and celebrate. Amen? Amen. Go in peace.